The story happened just last week, and it's still fresh in my mind. My family and I had decided to stop at Culver's for lunch. It was around noon when we pulled into the parking lot of a newer Culver's in our town. We parked and got out of the car and began walking into the restaurant. As we're walking in, I notice a strange guy sitting in a black Chevy pickup with the driver's door open. He looked to be in his 30s and he was smoking a cigarette and seemingly watching everything and everyone around him very carefully. I didn't think much of it since our town has a lot of weirdos in it, and we just went inside. We were sitting at a table near the window, and I could see the guy's trunk a few feet spaced away, and he was still sitting there smoking a cigarette. I thought it was weird he wasn't getting any food or anything, but I figured maybe he was waiting for a DoorDash order or something. It took a while to get our food, but eventually we got it. We had been there so long at this point that the employees were doing shift change. All of a sudden, I hear three loud pops and look out the window to see a female employee drop to the ground, blood getting all over the concrete, and the man closing the door in his truck and peeling out of the parking lot. My parents and I were in shock, and everything was just a blur after that. But basically, the police showed up and shut down the restaurant and we had to leave. Later on the news, we learned that the man was the woman's ex-boyfriend who she had just broken up with, and he had decided to end her life because of it and waited for her outside of her work. And little did she know, at the end of her shift, she'd be walking right into her fate. The man was arrested and charged with murder, public endangerment, and discharging a firearm in a public space, and he was given 190 years in prison. The image of that woman laying in a pool of blood is still burned into my mind forever, and I'm never going back to that Culver's again. My name is Stephanie, and this all happened when I was 17 years old a few years ago. I got my first job the summer before my senior year in June of 2022. Burger King wasn't exactly my dream, but it paid better than babysitting and didn't involve cleaning strangers' houses like my mom's job. I wanted to help her out with the bills and save up for a beat-up Honda Civic that I saw parked at a neighbor's house with a for sale sign in the window. It was $2,000. I figured I could make that by the fall if I picked up enough hours. I was hired 2 days after I filled out the online application. My uniform was a little too big, and the visor made me look like a dork, but I didn't care. There was something exciting about clocking in, putting on a headset, and pretending that I was part of something real. I made burgers, bagged fries, and restocked napkins. I learned to refill the soda machine without making a mess. I liked the buzz of the drive-thru during dinner rush and the way that my manager Tanya called me kiddo when I got things right. For a little while, things felt normal. Then he started coming in. The first time I noticed him was on a Tuesday night. I remember because my feet were killing me and I was counting down the minutes until close. He came in just after the dinner rush around 6:45 p.m. He looked out of place, older than most of our customers. Maybe late 40s, with graying hair and skin that looked like it hadn't seen a moisturizer in a decade. His eyes didn't move the way most people's did. They stayed fixed on me for way too long. He walked up to my register, ordered a Whopper with cheese and a medium fry. When I asked if he wanted a drink, he didn't answer me right away. Instead, he smiled in this way that made my stomach just twist.
"You're new here," he said.
"Yep, it's my first month."
"You've got a nice face," he said. "I bet you hear that a lot."
I didn't know what to say. I just handed him his receipt and told him that his food would be right out. He sat down at the table closest to the counter, eating slowly, watching me between bites. I told Tanya all about it after my shift.
"Oh, he's just lonely," she said with a sigh. "We get a lot of regulars like that. Don't let it bother you."
I wanted to believe her, but then he came in again the very next night, and the night after that too, every single night, always during my shift, always my line. He never changed his order, a Whopper with cheese, medium fry, and no drink, but he'd started adding little comments every time.
"Love that braid you're wearing tonight. You look tired, sweetheart. Long day? I could take you somewhere nice if you ever wanted a break from this place."
It wasn't just the words. It was the way he looked at me,
like he was measuring something. I tried to keep it professional, short responses, eyes on the register, but it started to get harder to smile. Even when I wasn't working the counter, I'd feel a stare from across the dining room. I started dreading my shifts. One of my coworkers, Eli, noticed something was off too. "You good?" he asked me one night while restocking the sauce packets. "That guy gives me bad vibes." I nodded. "He's been here every night, always talking to me." "Well, did you tell Tanya?" Eli asked. "She thinks he's harmless." Eli frowned. "I don't like it." Neither did I, but I didn't want to make drama over a creepy customer. I mean, what if I really was just overreacting? Then came the night everything changed. It was a Thursday night just after 11 p.m. Tanya was finishing the register count, and I was taking out the trash before clocking out. I remember checking my phone. 11:22 p.m., and I had texted my mom that I'd be home soon. I walked out the back door into the alley behind the building, headed toward the parking lot. It was quiet. Too quiet. That's when I saw him. He was leaning against the wall near the edge of the dumpster, half in shadow, smoking a cigarette.
"Hey there,"
he said. I froze. I hadn't seen him in the restaurant that night.
"I thought you'd come out sooner,"
he added.
"I waited here for a while."
My heart dropped into my stomach. "What do you want?" He took a step forward, flicking the cigarette away.
"I just wanted to talk. You're always so busy inside."
I tried to move past him, but he had stepped in front of me.
"Look, I like you, okay? I think we'd get along. You seem smart, kind. I could take you out sometime. Maybe show you something better than this greasy place."
"No," I said, my voice trembling. "You need to leave."
"I'm not trying to scare you,"
he said quickly.
"I just..."
"Tanya!" I screamed. The back door slammed open. Tanya appeared in her work polo, eye scanning the alley. "Steph? What's going on out here?" The man's eyes went wide. He bolted, running into the darkness behind the building before Tanya could catch more than a glimpse of his outline. I couldn't stop shaking. Tanya walked me to my car and stayed with me until I calmed down enough to drive. We called the police, filed a report, even showed them security footage, but nothing ever came of it. He never came back after that, though. I think he got scared. But sometimes when I'm alone in a parking lot or walking home after dark, I wonder if he just found someone else. Someone who didn't scream in time. If you take anything from my story, let it be this. Whether you're working fast food, retail, or anywhere that puts you in contact with strangers, trust your instincts. Creeps don't always look like villains. They don't always break laws. Sometimes they wait. They watch. They wear you down until they think they can cross the line. It doesn't matter if they're a customer. It doesn't matter if no one else believes you. You don't owe anyone your silence, your smile, or your time. Speak up. Make noise. Ask for help. Because the truth is, danger doesn't always kick the door down. Sometimes it walks in, orders a burger, and stares at you from across the counter. And you have every right to walk away. Every right to be safe. And every right to say no. I never really had to work. Not in the way most people do, anyway. I come from a pretty well-off family. The kind where birthdays meant weekend trips instead of presents. And if I ever needed money for books or clothes or rent, my parents would just Venmo it over before I even finished asking. And I don't say that to brag. Honestly, it's always made me feel weird. Like I was watching life from behind glass while everyone else was out there living it. So at 20, halfway through college and smack in the middle of a pretty cushy existence, I decided to do something completely out of character. I got a job at Taco Bell. It wasn't for the money. God knows I didn't need the $10 something an hour they were offering. I think I just wanted to feel something different, something normal, something real. Maybe I was bored. Maybe I wanted to prove that I wasn't as soft as I secretly worried I was. Whatever the reason, I filled out the application during a break between classes, and I didn't think twice about it. And to my surprise, I got hired. No interview, no questions beyond. Can you work weekends? Just like that, I had a purple visor and my name written in Sharpie on a piece of masking tape. It was my first job ever. The rush. The first few shifts were almost fun. There's a rhythm to fast food. The strange choreography of beeping fryers, shouted orders, hands moving fast but knowing exactly what they're doing. My coworkers were a mixed bunch. College kids like me, single moms, one guy out on parole who made the best burritos I've ever seen. They were all kind, sharp in unexpected ways, and weirdly funny. They didn't treat me any differently, even though I knew I stuck out. My hands were soft. I flinched at grease pops. I said please and thank you way too much, but no one ever said anything. They just showed me how to do things, how to reset the register whenever it froze, how to fold a crunch wrap without it falling apart, how to keep your cool when someone threw a drink at the drive-thru window because we were out of Baja Blast. And I would say that I did okay, better than I thought I would. I started to look forward to the shifts, especially at night, when the store got quiet and we were all just killing time until close, laughing over broken headset mics or sneaking extra cinnamon twists. It felt like I was part of something. Then, that night happened, and everything changed. The truck. It was a Friday. One of those strange in-between nights where the rush dies early but the store stays open late. 11:03 p.m. I remember because I had just checked the wall clock wondering how much longer I had to stay, where we're on cleanup duty. I was in the back stacking up the trash bags for the usual trip out to the dumpster. That's when I noticed the truck, an old white pickup beat to hell, rust eating the lower panels, duct tape over one of the taillights. It had been parked there for a while, near the very back of the lot, right at the edge where the lights didn't quite reach. I thought it was weird. But it is a Taco Bell. Weird as standard. Maybe it belonged to a customer from earlier who left it overnight. Maybe someone was sleeping in it. We got that sometimes. People who just needed a place to rest, scroll on their phones, or leech off the free Wi-Fi. Still though, something about this truck, it unsettled me. It was too still, like it had been waiting. I shook it off. I tied up the bags, grabbed two, one in each hand. Pushed open the back door into the night. Outside, it was quiet. No stars, just low clouds smothering the sky. The parking lot lights buzzed overhead, flickering slightly. The wind carried the faint smell of fries, bleach, and wet asphalt. The truck sat maybe 20 feet away, half in shadow. I didn't look at it. Well, not really. I kept my eyes forward, focused on the dumpster. Then I opened the lid. The finger. I threw the first bag in, and it landed with a wet smack. The second bag snagged onto something. Maybe a box, maybe metal. So I leaned in to shift it. That's when I saw it. Near the corner, half hidden by a flattened soda box, there was a finger. At first, of course, I thought it was a prank. A fake Halloween prop someone tossed in for a laugh. But then I saw the dirt under the chipped nail, the dried blood crusted on the knuckle, the pale soft look of the real skin. It was real. I froze. Everything in me just stopped. My stomach dropped and I couldn't hear my own breath. Too loud, too fast. I couldn't think. I couldn't even feel anything. I was just staring at it. Then I turned and ran, bursting through the door, shouting for my manager and tripping over a mop bucket. At first, she laughed, thought I was messing with her. I then insisted, borderline hysterical. She came with me reluctantly. The moment she saw it, her whole face changed, like someone turned out the lights behind her eyes. She didn't say anything, just backed away, locked the door, and called 911. The aftermath. The cops arrived pretty fast. Blue and red lights lit up the parking lot, bouncing off the wet pavement. They roped off the back area with yellow tape. Flashlights scanned the dumpster, the truck, which by then was gone, vanished. I hadn't heard it leave. None of us had. I gave my statement. So did my manager. The rest of the crew stood in the back room, quiet and confused. No one had seen anything unusual. No one had even noticed the truck arrive or drive away. It was like it had been there just long enough. Days passed. Eventually, we heard back. The finger had belonged to a missing woman. She was homeless. I'm not going to share her real identity just for anonymity's sake. She was in her early 40s. From what I heard, she at one point had a really great life. But like many, she went down the path of drugs. And I guess too many mistakes caught up to her. The rest of her was found dumped in a lake 40 miles north. No arrests, no suspects, nothing else. But I couldn't stop thinking about it. The wait. I kept working there for a few more months, pretended everything was fine, smiled through orders, cracked jokes, stayed late when someone needed help. But I felt different, like a thin crack had formed somewhere deep inside of me, and no one else could see it. Every time I took out the trash, I felt like someone was watching, like the shadows were holding their breath. I started dreaming about it. Not the finger exactly, but the dumpster. Always the dumpster. In the dreams, it was way deeper than it should be. Endless. Something waiting at the bottom, breathing. Eventually, I quit. Told everyone I needed to focus on school. Exams were coming up. But that really wasn't the truth. The truth is, I just couldn't stop thinking about that woman. About how close I'd come to something that I didn't understand. Something I still don't. I wonder if I'd looked earlier, if I'd said something about the truck sooner, if anything would have changed. I'll never know. Here's what I learned. People say the world is small, that we're all connected. But I think what they mean is, danger doesn't feel distant when it's real. It can be as close as a dumpster behind your work, as near as the shadows beyond a parking lot light. I never expected to find anything out there. Certainly not a piece of someone's life or their death. But I did, and now I carry it with me. I still think about her. I still wonder who did it, and I still wish I'd never had to see what I saw. I love a good Pizza Hut personal pan pizza, especially when it's piping hot straight out of the oven, and the cheese is still trying to escape you when you take that first bite. Greasy, slightly too salty, and somehow exactly what my body craves at 9:30 in the morning. I know it's not technically breakfast, but it's my comfort food whenever I'm running late, under-caffeinated, and annoyed at life. I love them so much that when the drive-thru is packed and the line is winding around the building like it's Black Friday, I'll park and go inside, like a peasant. Like a noble, pizza-hungry peasant who has better things to do than sit in a line of idling cars for 20 minutes. Yesterday was one of those days. Already behind schedule for work, hungry, and trying not to let my mood spiral. I pull into the lot and notice the line of cars in the drive-thru, sigh audibly to no one, and decide to be brave and go inside. As I'm walking toward the door, this girl is just standing there, right in front of it, blocking it with her whole body. She's facing me, but still kind of pushing the door open like she's going to hold it for me from the inside. Except, she doesn't move. She just stands there with this weird vacant look on her face like she's buffering. I do that awkward shuffle thing, squeeze through the sliver of space she's left me, and say, "Thanks." No response. She just closes the door behind me and then walks over to one of the tables and sits down. Didn't even order anything. Didn't even look around. Just sat. Whatever. I figured she was just waiting for someone, or maybe just charging her phone. It was too early and I was too hungry to care. I placed my order, grabbed a cup for my drink, and stood around trying to look patient while my stomach made sad, hollow sounds. Eventually, I get my pizza. Thank you, melted cheese gods, and I head back outside. I'm already running 10 minutes late, so I walk fast. I'm maybe 10 feet from my car when I hear someone yelling behind me. "Ma'am! Ma'am!" I keep walking. I'm not in the mood. People yell random stuff all the time. For all I know, someone's trying to sell me magazine subscriptions or convince me to sign up for a gym. But then I catch movement out of the corner of my eye. Someone running, fast, and toward me. I turn my head and it's the same girl from before. She's got a suitcase now, and a big one at that. Roller wheels, extendable handles, sleek and expensive looking. She's also wearing a really nice coat and a travel backpack that probably costs more than my monthly car insurance. So, not exactly someone down on her luck. She's yelling,
"Ignoring me is rude, ma'am. I know you can hear me."
Okay, I'm officially unsettled at this point. I reach my car and get the driver's door open. I'm grateful now that I parked in that weird-end spot with the concrete and decorative rocks to the left of me. No car beside me. No car in front or behind me. Just a little bubble of escape potential. She closes the distance and stops just short of my car door.
"I need you to take me to the terminal," she says.
"Not, can you please take me?" "Not, hey, I'm stuck, do you mind?"
"Nope.
It's a demand, like I'm her Uber driver and this is a scheduled pickup." She doesn't even look out of breath. I tell her,
"I'm sorry, I can't. I'm already late for work."
I motion vaguely down the road like work is just around the corner. It's not, but she doesn't need to know that.
"The terminal is right there," I add, pointing in the direction of the transit center.
"You can literally walk. It's a 5-minute walk, tops." She ignores that completely.
"You have to take me,"
she repeats, like the logic of it is self-evident. Now I'm getting pissed. This isn't someone in trouble. This isn't a scared traveler looking for help. This is someone who's decided that I'm responsible for her and doesn't care whether I agree.
"I'm not taking you anywhere," I say flatly. "I'm leaving."
I sit down and close my door, and as I'm turning the key in the ignition, I see her grab the passenger door handle and start yanking on it. Hard. Then she starts pounding on the window with the palm of her hand. Thankfully, my Jeep is a beat-up early 2000s model with manual locks. There was no way that door would open. She tries again. Then she starts shouting again, louder this time. Something about me being a horrible person, about how she needs this ride and that I'm selfish. And then, just when I thought she might walk away, she drops her suitcase and runs to the back of my Jeep. She starts digging through her purse with one hand, slamming her fist against my rear window with the other, over and over. If you know old Jeeps, you know the rear glass isn't exactly bulletproof. At that point, I'm not just freaked out, I'm genuinely scared. I have no idea what she's reaching for in that purse. A knife? A key to slash my tires? A weapon? I don't wait to find out. I shift into four-wheel drive, spin the wheel, and gun it. My Jeep lurches over the concrete curb, tires gripping the rocks like they were made for it. I bounce my way out of the lot like a paranoid stunt driver in a bad action movie, pepperoni grease still on my fingers. In the mirror, I catch one last glimpse of her chasing me to the sidewalk, still screaming. And just like that, she was gone. So yeah, to the wild Pizza Hut lady. Hopefully I won't encounter her again. I do have some lingering thoughts though. Am I a bad person for not giving her a ride? Or was this one of those self-preservation tests? I've read way too many stories where good Samaritans end up in body bags. How did she even get to Pizza Hut? And I mean with a backpack and a suitcase? Someone must have dropped her off or she walked. Why not just keep walking to the terminal? She had a working phone. She was holding it when she first demanded the ride. What if I had given her a ride and there were people waiting at the terminal? What if this was some kind of setup? If she had just asked for money, she probably would have gotten a 20 from me. But she didn't ask. I still have way too many thoughts about this.